Are we waiting for the theme music, or is it already playing?
No, we're waiting.
No, there's a problem. Of course, there's always a problem.
We're waiting for
ladies and gentlemen, we have technical difficulties.
All right, everybody, pretend that the theme music is playing right now.
I have it. I can play it.
All right, sure, Brenda Boo, if you're ready, go ahead. Go ahead. Theme music.
Now she's got to find it.
No, I have it. I know.
Honk, cow noises. Garage noises.
I like what Peter's doing.
Yeah, he's doing a good job.
Hey, Wallace Garage. Hello, Pink Whale Network.
Hello, Pinkies. This is the co-host emeritus, the laughing Buddha on the most unluckiest show on the Pride 48 network. And rounding the bend is Mr. Lucky himself, the Fey driver.
I'm smoking a Lucky, in fact, right now. So,
are you? Is it unfiltered?
Of course it is. I rolled it myself.
Those are from Durham. Good for you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. Thank you, Laughing Buddha, for bringing us in. As you mentioned, it's the unluckiest show. Had a little technical difficulties off the top. As everybody knows, it is the 13th, Friday the 13th of December. I guess it's the last Friday the 13th of 2013. I wonder how auspicious that is.
Well, it couldn't get any worse.
let's hope not. Hello, Laughing Buddha. How are you?
I am fabulous. I've closed out a very busy, exciting week and looking forward to the weekend. How about you?
I, too, have had a very hectic period of time previous to this. And so, yeah, I'm ready for the Friday to come and go. So let's have a good Friday night, people.
Yay.
I guess we should introduce our auspicious guests. We have several interesting people joining us tonight here on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. Some new, some old. We'll start with the man himself, Eric Boo. Good day, Eric.
Good day. I am like you. I am so glad the week is over. I've got my drink in my hand. I'm choosing a Moscato today that I just picked up. And I'm drinking it out of my giant beer glass because I couldn't find the wine glasses, but that's okay. We don't mind.
I see.
Let the bubble do its work.
And also joining you in your own studio, we have another precious guest of the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. Good day, precious. Brenda.
Hello.
I love how he says precious.
We'll put on the lotion or I'll get the hose again.
Oh, you just can't say anything around here, can you?
Oh my God.
It just doesn't pay to be nice to people, does it?
Like, I wouldn't have brought it up if he did.
Oh, hi, Brenda. Welcome to Friday.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here too.
Someone else who's been on the show before, but not for a very, very long time. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the garage. It is Peter Apollonius. Good day, sir.
Hi, everybody. How are you doing?
Hey. Peter. Hi, Peter.
Hello. And I'm coming in from a week that was full of hurry up and wait. I'm back in my dream project at the Center for Disease Control, and I wrote a program that was going to be demoed on Thursday. And it seemed to be working, but it was kind of that tension of, oh, they're going to find something 3 hours before the demo goes off, and I'm going to have to fix it, But luckily they didn't find anything, so all that stress was for nothing. Oh. And in my hands, I have a black Doxador, which is a dog.
Right.
Because she was sitting on my lap and I couldn't go get a drink. So,
by the name of?
Cairo.
Oh, Cairo, right. Forgot about
her. She has a very cold nose and seems to like poking it in my face. Down, face.
Well, it's great to have you back. I know you've traveled a lot, or you were traveling a lot prior to, I think, your current work engagement, and you weren't always able to be on the show.
Yep.
But it's great to have you back here. Welcome.
Thank you, and I'm happy to be here.
And someone else I'd like to welcome, this is a voice that's new to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, but not new to Pride 48. You will have heard him a lot on Gavin's show, Poke It With a Stick. That is the one, the only, Jimmy Bear. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, Faye, how are you?
I'm very well. Welcome to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage.
Oh, man, I'm thrilled to be here. You've been trying to get me on for a little bit.
I've been threatening you with empty promises, but to here we are. So it's great to have you here.
I am thrilled to be here tonight.
Terrific. We're very excited to hear about your exciting news, which we'll get to in a little bit. But let's see. It is Friday. We are all anxious for the weekend to start. And you know, one of the traditions in the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage is to come in the garage, open up the fridge, grab yourself a beverage, and let's find out who's having what around. Laughing Buddha, we'll start with you.
Well, sir, we had a bit of a tragedy before the show started this evening. I found out that I was out of gin. So my usual silver bullet martini has now turned into just a vodka martini because, well, that's what we had on hand.
Well, that's all right. A martini is a martini.
That's right.
If you're not too picky. So, Eric, what might you be imbibing tonight?
Well, as I mentioned, I'm drinking a Lucio Moscato that I picked up for a whopping $5 at our local grocery. And I've already downed half the bottle just in the short time that we've been on the air. So I'm going to have
this
pressure.
This could get interesting.
Are you going to have to run out and bust out another $5 before the show's over?
I know. This is it's actually quite tasty, but Lucio is kind of the Boone's Farm of, of Moscato. But I do have two Stellas in the fridge, so I can
very good.
Hear it for a while, too.
And Brenda. Brenda, what might you be imbibing?
Let's see. It's in a tasteful cup that has a lid because I would spill it if I had the opportunity.
Oh, she did the other day something fierce.
I almost wiped out like the mixer and the keyboard.
Uh-oh.
But, this is just, you know, my usual.
Diet Coke.
Diet Coke.
Sorry.
I'll have you know I spilled a Coke in my Porsche the other day.
Oh
no.
You should have seen the whining and the crying.
Hey, what did you do to the guy? That's what I want to know.
He's got a black eye now, but it's actually and I'm healing fine, thank you.
Okay. Hey, mister, can I have a soda pop?
So does Manuel, when he shrieks in terror from the pop, is it in a Spanish accent or a German accent?
Well, it's difficult to tell, but I think it's actually Spanish.
Ah.
Believe it or not.
He's from Southern Bavaria.
Right.
Well, Spain, you know,
Bavaria,
really
Bavaria from the south, you know.
Apollonius, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm pretty much going dry because the only other option at this point is nail polish remover, and that's a no-no.
Oh.
I might, like, sneak off and get a tab, but then I will probably burp so loud that I'll shake everyone's speakers, so I'm trying to avoid that too, and we'll probably just stick with water.
Tab? Do they still make tab?
Yeah. They have it around Atlanta. It's my theory that they just have it sitting in a silo outside the Coke factory, and it was easier to just take the amount that they can bottle off every year rather than trying to dispose of it as a hazmat.
Our Coca-Cola bottler here in town does seasonal, like in the summertime. It'll do limited runs of tab, so you can get tab.
I believe you. I'm just surprised. Sorry.
Does anybody still get Fresca? Remember
yes.
Fresca?
Yeah, we have that.
Oh, I love Fresca.
We have Fresca, and we have like Fresca peach mixes occasionally, so it's not just grapefruit.
I used to take Fresca and then put a little bit of cranberry juice in it, too.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also, if you want to know what Tab tastes like, just take a Diet Coke and put some Sweet and Low in it. Because it's basically just Diet Coke with saccharin in addition to the aspartame. So it's got kind of a bitter kick.
Mm-hmm. Toppy says he's got Fanta.
We have Fanta, too. I think that's a Northeast thing.
And what are you drinking, Jimmy Bear?
I am drinking a Skinny Pirate, which is Captain Morgan's and Diet Coke.
Oh, well, aren't you precious?
I am.
Do you have a hook and an eye patch?
Arr!
Oh, my goodness. Laughing Buddha, could you please tell us who's joining us tonight in the Pride 48 chat room?
Joining us in the chat room this wonderful Friday the 13th is Jay the Haunt Cub, Moose P, and Toppy Smelly. Thanks, guys, for joining us. We do appreciate it.
And Wit. Don't forget about Wit.
Oh, yeah. Wit just popped in, it looks like.
Speaking of the Pride 48 chat room, I just want to plug out that Pride 48 in 2014 is going to be from September 19th to the 21st. So if any of you are interested in going to Pride 48, mark that off on your calendar, September 19 to 21. As you know, it was the weekend before, which would have been, what, the 12th to the 14th? Previously, that was announced, but they've had to change the date, so you better change your calendars and make sure you join us all on the 19th to the 21st. Of course, I'm not sure if I'm going to make it because I booked my holidays for that first weekend. So I'm going to have to do a lot of cock-sucking and bargaining to get the other weekend off.
Yeah, those
didn't happen.
those sexual favors are great negotiating tools, Faye. I think you'll do well.
Right. Well, I certainly will be busy. all right, guys. Well, let's see. I guess we should get started because we have a couple of interesting topics to talk about. Thank you to those people who are joining us on the Pride 48 chat room. So I want to get directly to the man of the hour, the guest of honor, our new friend, Jimmy Bear, because you have some quite exciting news. Tell us what's happened in your life in the last, what month, I guess?
Well, actually, just over 2 weeks ago, the Tuesday before our Thanksgiving, we bought a 2014 BMW X5.
Woohoo!
Yay, yeah. Shiny new.
Shiny.
Congratulations, as RuPaul would say.
Thank you.
I'll just pop up a picture of that in the chat room here. So tell us about your new car. What drove you to the X5, for starters?
Okay, well, we didn't really need a new car, per se, but my husband wanted to upgrade his current ride, and he was driving a Honda Pilot, which he liked. I mean, it's a very, very good car. But he wanted a BMW because I'd been driving one for the past 5 years, and we liked the brand, we liked the quality of it, and it seemed like, you know, the right time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we went out to the dealership in our local area. Actually, I contacted the salesman that we bought the last two from, and he was there, and it's like, we'd like to take a look at these, and we went and test drove one, and we actually ended up buying the one that we test drove.
Oh, very good.
Yep.
So can you tell us a little bit about any options that you have on it? What you like the best about it?
Oh, what I like the best is that it's a familiar car. I drive a 2013 BMW X3 that we just got in January, and pretty much everything, all the controls are the same, which I love the familiarity, so you don't have to learn something new.
Right.
And as far as like major options, of course, we live in the Boston area, so we have the cold weather package.
Oh.
And that's something that's kind of key up here. Basically, that includes, it has a heating steering wheel, which...
Lovely.
If you've never had a heating steering wheel, oh, it's fantastic.
I support you in that.
Uh-huh. It also has headlight washers. These little retractable things come out and spray washer fluid on your headlights.
Right.
And something we really don't need, it has heated back seats.
Oh.
Which the dog is
I can give you a couple of reasons for why you need heated back seats.
Now,
say if
you make your own heat.
You're making your own heat, exactly. So.
Okay, whatever. So I'm just telling you, cold winter nights on a naked ass really calls for a heated back seat.
Canadians must be chilly down there.
Sorry, Jimmy.
No, that's fine.
I'm interrupting. Carry on.
What I found surprising was a standard item on these cars is the heated front seats. Usually that's been a major option, but now that comes standard.
Well, it should on a car like this, really. Don't you think?
I think so.
So you've been driving an X3 prior to this, and yes. The X5 is primarily used by your partner, I presume?
That's correct. I tool around in it in the weekends.
Uh-huh.
And I absolutely love it.
You guys do have a lot of snow in Boston, I presume. We can see a little bit in the pictures you've given us.
Yep.
Have you had much experience with the X3 or the way that this vehicle uses the all-wheel drive system? Do you have any comments on how that works?
Well, so this is what they call X-Drive, which means it's an all-wheel drive vehicle. And this is actually the third BMW that we've had that has X-Drive. And the first car that we had was a 2009 335i with X-Drive. It was a coupe.
Yeah.
And when I first got that, I went into winter, and it was a very, very snowy winter. And it was one of the best cars I've ever driven in snow. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a sports car, but boy, it really tore up the snow, and I really felt very comfortable driving in snow.
Right.
As far as other features, I don't know all the technical data, but I know driving on slippery roads, it's supposed to perform better. It does this things with the brakes where, if it senses that it's wet out, it will, apply the brakes to dry off the rotors, that kind of thing.
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm. It has like a traction control so that if you're going through a curb, and I think you've talked about this before, oversteer, understeer,
yes. It
automatically corrects for that.
Right.
And you can actually turn that off, but I never really have.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the X drive and something that I don't think I would ever do without.
Yeah, it is a very intelligent system that manages the traction and control of all of the wheels, and it's constantly adjusting the power that it puts to each of the four wheels. So it's quite an amazing system. I too have experienced the X drive. I had an X1 and an X3 for various not as my own car, but loaners. When I've taken my own BMW in for service, they give me these lovely new vehicles to drive. And I must say, I was quite impressed as well with the X-Drive of both those vehicles. So I like it. Does anybody have any comments or questions for Jimmy Bear?
Oh, my question, Jimmy, is, and follow me on my path here.
Sure.
Do you have a house or an apartment?
We own a home.
Okay, so you have a yard, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a beater vehicle for, like, if you were to run to the Home Depot and want to get, like,
2x4s.
Yeah, 2x4s or stuff like that. And if you don't, this is the question I've always had. I mean, because they're SUVs. They're sports utility vehicles.
Just correct you quickly, this is a BMW, and BMW doesn't subscribe to such antiquated terms. In fact, these are sport activity vehicles, SAVs.
My question is, at that level of investment, how is your comfort level on using it for the other activities, i.e. loading, fertilizer in the back?
No problem at all. It has you know,
you can hear the money falling out of his pockets.
No, the X5 has tons of room. As far as like picking up lumber and that kind of thing, first of all, neither of us would be picking up any lumber. If we want something built, we'll have some cute guy come over and build it. My dog Esther just came and joined me. Hi, Esther. I really don't have any problem using it as a regular car. No, we do not have a beater car.
Okay. No, that's always been my curiosity, was at that level of investment. I mean, are you guys, there's a certain amount of babying that goes along with it, but I at some point you have to use it.
Yeah, no, we have no problem using it. And, in the door dings and whatnot, those are, it's inevitable. I mean, they happen. But I will say that these cars do hold their value tremendously. I mean, I was surprised when I traded in that 2009 335i. I couldn't believe what they traded it in for.
Yeah. I have to say, too, being a BMW owner, my car is a 2005, so it's now 8 years old, is it? It's 8 years old, and you couldn't tell. At least I couldn't tell. It's so solid. It's got such wonderful build quality. It really is remarkable to me how it's able to maintain its the standard of quality.
But part of that is we've seen what you do to it. So it's as much as you babying it, because keep in mind, three of the panel have stayed at your house and watched you maintain it.
Well,
that's right. He actually washed the car before we left the Sunshine Coast.
I think he washed it every day.
Well, I can neither confirm nor deny how anal I might be about my cars. But yes, I do know.
It has heaters, though.
I beg pardon?
Oh, because you were talking about... Oh, never mind.
No. I do have a bit of a... what do you call it? A... obsession? Yeah, sure. I wouldn't term it that way.
It's a good obsession.
We love our BMWs. Any other questions for Jimmy Bear?
Actually, I've got a couple. Jimmy Bear, as some of you who've listened to me know, I work in public radio, and there is a huge discussion, dialogue happening about owning the inside of the car as far as things like streaming media, radios, devices, Bluetooth, all that sort of thing. So this is a 2014
yes.
automobile, right?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that electronics package? How seamless is it working? What sort of features are available for audio and that sort of thing? I'm really curious to know. I know the technology is kind of really advancing quickly, and the person who's going to come out on top is that manufacturer or maker that can get their audio into that space. So tell us a little bit about that. How is that working? Okay. How do you use it? And that sort of thing.
Okay. Excellent question. Well, first of all, the BMW has what they call an iDrive system. And the screen in the X5, they've just upgraded to a 10.2-inch high-resolution screen from an 8.5-inch screen that was inset in the dashboard. When I first saw this screen, it almost looked like an afterthought. Faye, I think I sent you a picture of the interior screen.
I'm trying to get them in, but I'm having some technical difficulties, but you keep talking, I'll work
on it. Yeah, no problem. So anyway, this new screen, it's much larger, and it's a much, much better resolution. It's incredibly crisp and bright. In the iDrive system, that's where you kind of control all this technology. So you have your navigation, So, you know, it has, which is BMW has done very, very well with. It has different like sites of maps. So you can, you know, have your regular map or you can have a 3D map. But one of the things that I really like about the navigation is the real-time traffic. So if I'm en route to some place and I've got something, put into the navigation, if traffic is backed up on the highway, it'll tell me and it will give me the option to reroute. And it'll tell me how much time it saves. So that's really cool.
Wow.
Yeah, I really love real-time traffic. It saved me quite a few times. Relative to audio, well, this comes with 1 year of Sirius XM radio, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. I don't really use the terrestrial radio anymore. Most of the time I listen to podcasts, which when I got the X3 back in January, that's when I really started listening to more and more and more podcasts. And that's kind of why I'm here today, because I've kind of gotten hooked on a lot of these shows. And I continue, you know, I continue to do that with the X5 when I'm in it.
What's your favorite show, Jimmy?
Oh, you can't answer that. That's like asking, you know, what dog is my favorite dog or what child's your favorite child? But Pink Wheel Nuts, I think. I listen to a lot of them on Pride 48. So I listen to that over Bluetooth. And the
very
Bluetooth
diplomatic, by the way.
Thank you. The Bluetooth is very seamless. When I get in, if I just hit the button that says media and it says Jimmy Bear's iPhone, and I had a podcast playing, it just picks up right where it left off. So it also, yes.
Can I tell you some feature that I have?
Yes.
I have a CD player in my Civic. Thank you. I just wanted to brag a little bit. Go ahead.
Brenda, I have never had a car that's had a CD player.
It's, sorry. I was just being a smartass.
I went from a 2000 Volkswagen Passat that had a tape deck to that 2009 BMW 335, but did not have a CD player. It had a DVD player, but not a CD, which is kind of neat. But anyway, back to the technology on the X5. It does have an internal hard drive that's 200 gigabytes.
Really?
And, yes. And you can put 20 gigs of audio.
Oh,
I looked this up, and that's, yeah. You know, so yeah, I can like take a music library and download it onto the car, and it's there forever.
Wow.
Then I just have to tap into it. I haven't done that. You know, what I have done with my last car was I hooked up an iPod to it, and I just kept it there all the time. So, you know, my whole music library was there. Right. But I guess I could presumably just, you know, download my entire music library into the car so it's there. Mm-hmm. But I just haven't done that. I do more Bluetooth streaming.
Okay, so as a fellow BMW driver,
yes,
I have to ask this politically charged question. Do you ever experience BMW hate?
When you're
driving? Do you? Really?
No. Yeah. I not when I'm driving. A couple of the guys at work, they razz the hell out of me. Yeah, uh-huh. they say, you know, obviously you have a BMW, you have to go to a special school to learn how to drive like a BMW driver and all that. But that's just not the case. We are just like everybody else.
Yeah.
And BMW drivers aren't the bad ones anymore. It's now the Audi drivers.
Oh, thank goodness.
Volkswagen Golf drivers. Golf GTs.
No, Faye, we were cursing out a BMW driver the other day.
Oh, good. What? Tell us your story.
We're in two lanes and then a turning lane.
Now,
right?
Just before you continue, here's what I'm going to do. You tell your side of the story, and then I will tell you the BMW driver's side of the story. How about that?
Okay. So
Faye, go ahead.
Two lanes on each side, and then the turning lane in the middle. So we're on the right-hand side. Anyway, he went from the far right lane to the turning lane, like diagonally, like he was in Chicago traffic. Okay, this is frickin' Cedar Rapids, Iowa. You don't have to be such, you know, you don't have to be an Indy 500 driver to get to the turning lane.
Wait, is that frowned upon?
It was just show-offy. And I said, look at that BMW. God, thanks. What's your side of that story?
Okay, well, maybe his GPS told him to turn really quickly.
Yeah, because it's hard to navigate the streets of Cedar Rapids.
Or maybe he's just a douchebag.
True. I would tend to lean towards the latter and not the former.
My explanation for that is he really had to poop.
Now, this isn't Lotso. We don't talk about pink milk.
So, Faye.
Lotso.
Yes.
In your spy car, what engine do you have in that?
I have the 4.4 liter engine.
Oh my!
Not as nice as your 4.4 liter. Do you have the 4.4 or the 3.0?
No, I've got the 3.0.
Yeah, your 3.0 is rated for 300 horsepower.
Yep.
As far as I understand, yep. My 4.4 liter is 360 horsepower.
Wow.
But your the 4.4 that comes in your 2014 X5 is 440 horsepower, 445 horsepower, I think.
That's crazy.
So that is pretty crazy.
Well, how much more does the X5 weigh, though?
Nothing.
It's really
my 700 series weighs 5,000 pounds empty.
And the X5 weighs 4,800 pounds.
Oh.
So it's a little lighter.
Wow, I would think that's a lot.
Yeah. They've actually lightened it up. But I really like that 300 horsepower engine. It's the same engine that I had in the 335. Lots and lots of power. I mean, my X3, it has the little engine. It's got the 2-liter four-cylinder engine, and it keeps me honest, but it gets much better gas mileage because I do a lot more driving than my partner does.
Uh-huh. What do you think of the styling? You know, I have to say, my most favorite X5 was about two generations ago, the more boxier, squarish-looking one.
I didn't like the boxy one. I like it. I like it now. I like it much more streamlined.
Yeah, they're pretty nice-looking, but I don't know. I'm nostalgic for that old, clunky, old, boxy thing. In fact, I almost bought one of those before I finally decided on the 700 series.
But, well, that's 7 series. I'm jealous.
Yeah, it's quite a remarkable car. Does anyone have any other questions for Jimmy? Hearing none, I guess we'll move on. Can I just say, though, maybe I can just, you and I can have a private little chat here, you, me and Jimmy here.
Absolutely.
Boys and girls, please excuse us.
Okay, everybody else just leave the room mentally.
Right. Oh, are we like conjoined twins? Do they need their private time?
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Zoning out.
I must say, you know, I was a North American car driver before I finally got a German car, and I have to say that I just really enjoy the brick shit house-ness of these BMWs. They're so solid and well built, and they feel, when you drive them, you it's just a completely different driving experience. And I just have to say that it's one of the most enjoyable things I've experienced in my life, is getting the chance to drive such a fine machine. I have to say, I'm very impressed with my car, I just think it's amazing.
I have to agree, and that's why, you know, we keep going back to this. I mean, we weren't considering any other brand because of what you just said. I mean, everything is so tight, and it lasts. I mean, that you know, whether the car is brand new or whether the car is 5-6 years old, that same tightness is still there. One thing that is a little different with the new X5 is the steering. Mm-hmm. The steering, it's not as tight as the other BMWs, and my the sales guy was, I was talking to him about this, and he goes, yeah, we've made it a little bit more cushioned to compete against like Cadillac and these other models to attract a wider audience, to make it, to give it that kind of a feel, rather than have it as stiff as it usually is.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like the stiffness.
Yeah, so you feel like you've gone back a step over the X3.
With the steering, and that's about it.
Yeah,
but
right.
Everything else is just as you said, very tight, very well built. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a quality vehicle.
Yeah. I will tell you something that I noticed between my two cars. My Porsche is very simple. It doesn't have any dampening in the steering. Whereas with the BMW, the faster you go, the steering becomes more tight because, you know, the boost gets, the power steering reduces, I guess, or they do something to tighten up the steering when you're going faster in the BMW. But that feature is not present in the Porsche. And I understand completely why. They're two different cars. And in one sense, you kind of want that lighter steering in the Porsche. But I will say, when you're going really, really fast in that Porsche, there is a sense of you really need to pay attention to what you're doing, because you feel like you could accidentally jerk that wheel and send yourself flying off the road. So I must say, I really enjoy some of the aspects that the BMW has, where it's really controlling all of these variables for you, right? I mean, the suspension is constantly changing without you really realizing it, like when you're turning corners versus going straight, and there's all these things are changing, which really improves the ride quality in that BMW. So yeah, absolutely fantastic cars. So
can I ask a question without asking specifically what you paid? What is the price range of a BMW? What are you,
for the X5?
Well, you don't have to tell me what you paid, but I mean, like, how, you talking like $40,000 for a brand new car?
X5 will start at probably about $55,000 and go up from there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. An X3 starts at, say, $37,000 and goes up from there.
My BMW 745 series, I'm embarrassed to say, in Canada, in 2005, that car cost $120,000.
So his car cost more than our house. And the X5 cost more than our first house.
You want to come drive our house?
Yeah, you want to drive our house?
I was talking to my dad at Thanksgiving, and I was showing him the car, and it kind of hit me. And it's like, you know, Dad, I spent more for this car than I did my college education. Mm-hmm. He just kind of laughed.
Well, you get value for money, though, I must say.
And this, you know, ladies and gentlemen, is why I drive my Mazda.
Can I ask this question? I've always wondered why somebody such as yourselves would invest so much money in something that you're constantly taking out into public and might, you know, get dinged up. Is this a source of stress for you?
That's what insurance is for.
Right.
That's a nice answer, but I really would like... I mean, seriously, though, do you constantly worry? Like, when I had a beater of a car, I was begging people, hit me. It's not worth anything. Somebody hit me.
No, I'm not too worried about that. I mean, it's upsetting when it happens, but you kind of have to recognize that that is going to happen.
RT actually makes a good point in the chat room. He says, you know, cars are not an investment. And I have to agree, you know, a car is a conveyance. You know, it gets you from point A to point B. And if you find something that you like, that you can afford, why not? I also approach my home in a lot of the same way. Yes, you need some place to live. It's probably going to increase in value. But, you know, as we saw in 2008, that may not be the case. So you buy something to sort of just use and enjoy and live in, and that includes a car.
Right.
No judgment. I was just curious. I've never had a car that I was all that worried about getting hurt.
Yeah, you know, quite frankly, we're not terribly worried about that, and you know, we've been very fortunate in our lives, so you know, we're able to do it. But you know, another part of it in my line of work, I'm a real estate agent. It's kind of a bit of a polish there too, so that's a little bit of it too. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's as that may sound shallow, but. Yeah, maybe it is. I don't know.
It's a selling feature.
And yeah. I also feel like market-wise, a lot of the premium luxury cars, a lot of what people do is they'll lease them. So instead of paying, you know, financing $50,000 up front for an X5, they'll kind of pay $350, $400 a year to lease them for 2 years, promise they won't drive them too far, and then essentially just turn them in and get a new one every 2 or 3 years. And yeah. Then people who really, really want one but don't want to pay for a shiny new one, they'll get it certified pre-owned and pay $37,000, $38,000 for it instead. And then everyone still makes money off of it that way.
Yeah,
because, sure. I mean, my dad has a BMW.
That's what I do.
Yeah, and my dad has a BMW, but he got it at an auction. So a lot of these things, kind of the upfront prices, oh my goodness, if you walked in and tried to buy one, it's going to be super-duper expensive, but you can... If you're willing to, like, if you are the kind of person who wants to drive something new and flashy all the time, leases exist for you. Because then you're kind of just saying, I'm going to rent my car long term and always have a car payment, but I'm okay with that because I'm always getting something shiny and new and top of the line. Whereas if you're trying to, like, buy something and you want to keep it going for 8 years and really get all the value out of it, you buy a certified pre-owned one or just kind of take a step down to, like, maybe a... Chrysler or a Mazda or something like that. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I agree with I do agree with that philosophy. If you're resigned to the fact that you're gonna pay for a car anyway, why not? I mean, that's one way to do it, is to pay, you know, what you can afford for the rest of your life and get a new car every couple of years, right? Okay, let's move on. Let's move the conversation along. Thank you very much, Jimmy, for sharing your proud new purchase with us. I'm very happy for you.
And, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So let us move on, folks. And I want to answer some of the questions that have come in from previous episodes. Toppy Smelly is in the room. And last week on the Pink Wheelnuts Garage, we were talking about tires. And Toppy Smelly was one of the persons who got new tires along with Brenda Boo. And he asked the question at the end of last week's show about why is it that they recommend a front end alignment when you get new tires. So I'm going to pass this question to the room. Does anyone want to take a stab at this?
Well, it's about tire wear and about handling. And when you have a properly aligned tire, it will wear evenly. You know, you won't get inside wear exceeding the outside edge wear. And a poorly aligned vehicle may have a tendency of pulling to one side or the other. You want it so that when you're driving down the road, if you let go of the steering wheel while you're going straight, it stays straight.
Mm-hmm.
And a poorly aligned vehicle, that's where you start to get the, you know, well, God, my car pulls into traffic inadvertently, you know.
Right.
So.
Yes, Brenda?
I was just going to ask, as your tires wear down, does the alignment accommodate and adjust to the way your tires are wearing down? So when you put new tires on, do you need to straighten it out?
Yeah. And that's the other reason why you want to rotate your tires too. You know, it's because alignment you can fall out of alignment.
Right.
Well, also, there are components in your suspension that kind of wear down and bend over time just due to the weight of the car and use. Every single piece that has to bend and steer has a little rubberized ball joint in it. and those can tend to sag and wear more on one side just after being jiggled up and down for 30,000 miles or so. So it's one of those things where the tire will slowly kind of wear with that suspension adjustment, but when you're putting smack new ones on, you kind of want to bring everything back into tack and match the specifications that the manufacturer recommends. Because otherwise, if you have a brand new tire, then everything will sit differently once it gets down on the ground.
And just so I'd just like to explain exactly what an alignment does. What the purpose of aligning the car is to make sure that all four tires, when the steering wheel is straight, are essentially pointed in the same direction, and that the tires will tend to lean in or out, I guess laterally. And if everything isn't straight and sort of pointing straight up and down and pointed in the same direction, then you get this kind of odd wear on the tires. And so the point of aligning it is to just get everything all nice and straightened back out. Toppy asked the question in the chat room that they charged $80 for an alignment. And he's asking, is that a normal cost?
Yeah. You know, if you go to some tire dealers, like when we bought the tires for Brenda, they had a special going on. You bought four tires and you got like a $70 instant rebate off. That essentially paid for the mounting, balancing, and alignment. And a lot of tire dealers will do that. But $80 is the pretty standard, you know, kind of a standard charge for that. If they wanted to charge you $200 for it, I would definitely not get my tires dot from them.
Right.
Unless you're driving like a Corvette or a Porsche, because some things have like way more suspension components to adjust. And they have to essentially adjust everything, put it on the ground, make sure it's right, and then more often than not, lift it back up and keep tweaking it. So, well,
if I had a Corvette, I wouldn't go to Sam's to get tires, so I'd probably pay a little more anyway.
Ooh, fancy. You're going to the Costco, aren't you?
Yeah.
And then the reason that you want to do this when you get brand new tires is because, you know, your old tires will be all worn out and will probably be suffering from poor alignment. So when you get a new set of tires, you want your alignment to come back and nice and straight so that those brand new tires aren't being subjected to any unusual wear and they'll last longer.
That and 25, 30, 40,000 miles on a car tends to mean an accumulation of a lot of pothole strikes and weird bumpy things and turning one direction more than another. And just, yeah, each of those little things can knock it a little bit out of round, so it's just a good interval to kind of take it in and whack it all back into snuff.
Hitting pedestrians.
I love that. So far,
that was one time.
So far, he has said that your balls will tend to sag if they jiggle over time. He said, whack it a little bit. I'm loving this conversation.
Hey, Faye, can I tell you that since I got my tires and I've had them for a week now, right?
Yeah.
That I noticed that after a couple of days, they actually were reacting better. Is that normal?
Yes.
Okay, because I noticed that at first I thought, God, these tires, these brand new tires don't seem to be gripping as nicely as I thought they would. And then a couple of days went by and I'm like, okay, now it's starting to kick in.
They're pretty much stored in the warehouse covered in a thin layer of Cosmoline. So it takes a week or two for that to kind of get scrubbed off. And then after that, everything sets into the tread better and it will start behaving like it's actually gripping. But yeah, otherwise new tires are kind of like Power Wheels tires. So they just slide and slip and don't want to grab that well.
I was sliding around in the snow and I'm like, come on, man, these are brand new. And now we got a fresh layer of snow the other day. And I noticed when I was coming around and it's all slushy, now I can kind of play with the wheel and wiggle around. And I felt like I had control, but I was kind of doing a little slipping and sliding. It was fun.
Oh, good for you.
Now if you hit that pedestrian, it's intentional.
Well, but it's intentional when she's driving anyway.
One less Iowan in the world. Exactly. It's okay.
All right, folks. So we have another question, which another follow-up from Ranger John from last week. And he wanted to know exactly what happens when you press the accelerator pedal. So I know that Peter has got an answer all ready for us, so I'm going to go to him in a minute. So before I go to you, Peter, just let me explain. Ranger John said, now this might seem like a very obvious question. When you step on the pedal, the car goes. But his question is, exactly what is happening mechanically when you press the accelerator pedal to make yourself go? Can you help us out, Peter?
Yes, and I'm going to do this based on time frames, just because what's happened has changed over the years as cars get more sophisticated.
Sure.
So back in the olden days, you had a carburetor, and essentially what a carburetor did is it took gas and, using Bernoulli's principle, air rushing past kind of a little hole that had a tank of gas in it, it would suck gasoline out of that hole and mix it with the air and sort of act like a perfume sprayer going constantly. And if air moved more slowly past, less fuel would be pulled out, and if air moved more quickly past, more fuel would be pulled out. So when you stepped on the accelerator pedal, you would have a cable that went from the pedal to the carburetor, and it would pull a throttle more opened or closed and let more air into the engine past the atomizer and thus more fuel air into the car. And also this just works on the fact that an engine is pretty much the best vacuum known to man right now, like any type of engine. So in the olden days, let me reiterate,
in the olden days, when you stepped on the gas pedal, you were basically opening a valve that allowed more air to suck through. As the air sucked through, it pulled gasoline with it, and that all went into the cylinders and makes the car go faster, right?
Right. And also what the choke did is when the engine was cold, more of the gas wanted to just kind of precipitate on the intake manifold because it would like kind of fog up on the inside. So what would happen is the choke would actually constrict the airflow so that the air moved even faster and would suck more air out when the engine was cold. And then once it warmed up enough, it would kind of release the choke and make it so you weren't flooding the engine. It was actually a very complicated device doing a very simple thing.
Okay, so before we move on, any questions about the old carbureted, what would be called naturally aspirated engines? Okay, and that would be like probably what Toppy Smelly's car works on, that principle of the old carbureted. Okay, so carry on. Then what happened?
So fast forward a couple of years, you start getting electronically controlled fuel injection. And how that works is you still have a cable going from the pedal to a valve, a butterfly valve, but now you tend to have mass airflow meters, which measure how much air is moving into the intake manifold, and then the computer interprets how much gas needs to be injected into the cylinder for how much air is moving in. So that's pretty much what's been happening kind of up until now.
You're saying that when you step on the gas pedal, there's a computer that's measuring how much air is coming in and allotting a certain amount of fuel to be squished into the airflow stream? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. And this resulted in better efficiency because you could really only tune a carburetor to be really good at 1 RPM. But you can tune a fuel injection system to be good at whatever RPM or however much air is flowing by. So you get a more precise control of how much fuel is being squirted as opposed to just kind of having a hole in an airstream. And now what's happening on most cars is they have throttle by wire. And what that means is you no longer have a physical connection between the foot pedal and the butterfly valve. Now the foot pedal is a joystick. You pretty much press on it, and it's kind of like you're telling the computer, I want to give the car this much throttle. And the computer decides how much to open the butterfly valve and adjust all the fuel settings and the timing and etc. And the reason this started happening is actually traction control systems, because now two things can happen. One, if you're in a panicky situation and you step on the gas and the brake at the same time, it can ignore the gas. It can just go, okay, you're slamming on the brake and the gas, I'm going to not rev the engine up and fight you. I'm going to assume you're trying to stop. The other reason is if it detects that you're slipping or you're spinning, and even if you're like flooring the gas or trying to give it more gas, it will ignore you. Third reason is sometimes if you stomp on the gas, it still just works better if the butterfly valve opens in a smooth motion. So it will kind of allow for little efficiency gains, just because even though you're pressing it real hard or jerking the pedal back and forth, it will kind of more smoothly operate it so that the engine doesn't get startled or the airflow doesn't get disrupted too much by you having kind of a Parkinson's foot or whatever.
So in cars nowadays, is flooding the engine a thing of the past?
Yes, unless you have a horrendously malfunctioning engine control computer or the sensors are like gummed up or fucked up, then it will not happen.
Sure.
And it's pretty much impossible in any fuel injected car to flood the engine nowadays.
Okay.
And also a note, when you do start any vehicle that was made after the year 2000, you do not need to press the gas pedal to start it. It's going to handle all of that for you. All you need to do is turn the key and the car will decide.
Or press the button.
Yes, right. And the car will decide how much gas to throw in there to get the car started.
Or lock the car and hit the start button from outside the car inside your home because you want to warm up before you get there. That's a fun feature.
Yeah.
If you have remote start.
So you are a one percenter at heart, Peter.
Honey, let me tell you, I keep going back and forth on whether I want to get a cheap Mazda 3 as my next car or whether I want to get the new Mitsubishi Mirage, which is a 3-cylinder. So,
oh dear.
I'm kind of I was imprinted on the Geo Metro as like the coolest car ever. You know this about me. I'm weird. Mm-hmm. So,
Brenda, you
what? I just
go ahead, dear.
I'll
stop interrupting you.
Like
anytime you want, Brenda.
Go ahead.
Get a Mitsubishi so you can say, Mitsubishi. That's what all I want to say. That's one of the words me and Eric say. Oh, that was a big laugh. Stop, everybody. Calm down.
Where is that from?
Mitsubishi.
I don't know.
It's like focaccia. And it's just words that we like to say.
Yes.
Does anyone have any questions about gas pedals?
I think you shouldn't. Never mind. Go ahead.
All right.
Keep my bad jokes to myself.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Peter, for that very informative discussion on gas pedals. I hope Ranger John had all of his questions answered.
Partnered.
Okay, so now I just want to answer our last question because I'm pretty sure we'll be able to do it quickly and then we'll bring the show to a close. That Peter G sent a question in some time ago to the Pink Wheel in the Garage. He was asking about speedometers. And since we're talking about how making cars go fast by pressing the accelerator, I thought this would fit right in. Peter G wanted to know exactly how speedometers work. And he sent me this question. I'll just read his email quickly. He says, "Hi, Faye. Perhaps this is more of a physics question, but suppose your speedometer says you're driving at 50 miles per hour, but you're driving straight into a 10 mile per hour headwind. Are you driving 50 miles per hour or 40 miles per hour?"
That's a theory of relativity question now. We need to get Albert Einstein in here. Because you'd still be traveling 50.
Yes, you would be. I agree.
Wind resistance. It would take more energy to travel if you were in a 10-mile-an-hour headwind, or actually for a vehicle, probably be more significant if it were like a 80-mile headwind or something like 10 miles really isn't a whole lot. But cars are aerodynamic, so the wind would kind of go over the top anyway.
Unless you're driving a motorhome.
True. And then you should get off the damn road anyway. But that's a different story.
Okay, so can anyone explain...
Get my Winnebago out of this.
How exactly the speedometer works. How does the speedometer know how fast you're going?
That's magic.
Okay.
olden Peter, days.
Could you take this question?
Olden days, it was a little. Basically, there was a line that went from the back of the transmission up to the speedometer itself, and you basically just had something that measured how fast the thing was spinning. And
on a bicycle, right? Remember an old bicycle speedometer? You'd have the wheel, the spinner thing that measured how quickly the wheel was going, and a cable that would make
good just to see if you could get up to 30 miles an hour. It was awesome. Mm-hmm.
That was pretty much exactly it. And also, sometimes for fun, transmission fluid would leak into that cable and would start spraying transmission fluid on people's feet, if you've ever listened to Car Talk. But now, more modern cars, they have speed sensors on each individual wheel that just kind of uses magnets, kind of how quickly they click by the sensor, and it just takes an average of those. And it needs those for the ABS sensor so it can tell when one tire is locking up or going way slower than all the others.
Right. So now it's just derived electronically from whatever...
If you drove Chrysler products back in the day, sometimes what would happen is the wheel speed sensors would break really often, so you'd get like the crazy speedometer that would be like, you're going 30, you're going 80, you're going 70, you're going 20, you're going 40. And yeah, then it would just kind of turn off the cruise control until you got it fixed.
So I just want to be clear. The speedometer, which displays the speed on your dash, is not affected by any wind. It's measuring how quickly your vehicle is traveling over the ground. So as Eric mentioned earlier, if you do have a 10-mile headwind, you're not going to be going any slower over the ground if the car says you're doing 50, but your car will be using more energy to fight that wind as it's pushing through it. So you'll get worse gas mileage. Thank you, guys. Does anyone have any questions or anything else they'd like to talk about tonight?
I'll throw a question out there if you know. So next week, I am venturing to take my lovely bride to the pits of hell known as my parents' house.
Oh,
and
when is that?
On Friday,
don't you know? Saturday and Sunday, we're going to Maryville.
Saturday and Sunday, I guess.
Yeah, a week from,
not Friday, no.
Not Friday. But anyway, I have a pickup, she has the Honda. I really don't want to take either vehicle to Maryville. So I've been toying with the idea of renting a car.
Oh, yeah. I support you in this.
Now, but the question that I have is, should for like $86 unlimited miles, you can get a standard vehicle. Basically, it's like a Chrysler 200 or around that model. If I jump it up by $10, less than $10, I could have the likes of a Dodge Charger.
Oh.
Which would be the better.
How far is this trip?
Four and a half hours.
Oh, okay.
I would go with something fun. So with the extra $10.
So it's $10. You would take the Charger?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
It's not going to be a Charger. It's going to be an Impala or a Camry. I guarantee it.
In this case, it's a Charger. They actually have Chargers.
Jimmy, do you have any comments on this? So you're looking at either a Chrysler 200 or a Dodge Charger.
Yeah. Let's say the Charger all of a sudden disappears, and I think that was Jimmy, was right that, okay, it's going to be an Impala or something like that, but something of that ilk, which would be the better choice?
Jimmy, give us your answer again.
I would definitely do the Charger, but if the Charger wasn't available, I'd probably go with the Chrysler.
Okay. You're not a big Impala fan.
What is your reasoning with that?
I don't know. The Impala just seems... I haven't really driven one except back in the 1980s. I drove a 74 Impala, but that was a whole different animal. I don't know. I just think the Charger's kind of sexy. And I've driven a Chrysler 300, and I like that a lot. So, but I haven't driven the 200, so I'm just kind of guessing.
Laughing Buddha, you gave your answer already?
Yeah, I would say, you know, go with something fun. If you can get a Charger for 10 extra bucks, why not? Yeah, that would be fun.
Here's what I think. I would recommend that you do go for the larger car, whether it's an Impala or whatever it is. The 200 is a a small to medium sized sedan. The Charger is a larger car, or the Impala. And I think you'd be happier in the larger car because you're going on a highway trip. So your fuel economy shouldn't be any worse than the smaller car. And you'll be more comfortable. It'll be a larger car. It'll have more momentum because it's heavier. And it should be quieter and more comfortable. So I definitely say go for the big one.
Do you have the chance of running into any snow?
Yeah. Oh, that's an inevitability.
Yeah, and
so that should be considered, right?
Yeah, there's a chunk of road that is not interstate driving. It's very hilly and can be windy. So I would want something with front-wheel drive.
Front-wheel or all-wheel, yeah.
Bah.
Go for the
rear-wheel drive.
See, and I'm with you, Faye, because every vehicle that I have driven that I prefer to drive are rear-wheel drive.
Why? So I can drive off the road?
Who said you'd be doing the driving?
I always drive.
The other thing is the newer car is going to have traction and stability control, so you don't have to worry about it being rear-wheel drive or front-wheel drive because the car will essentially lock up the keep you from sliding or keep you from turning or keep the wheels from spinning out even if you try and floor it, unless you turn it off, which I wouldn't recommend.
Well, the Civic is not uncomfortable to drive in, but the drone...
Yeah, but we've heard that thing. Good God, woman. Driving on the highway in that car, you deserve a medal.
Yeah, drone is really...
I kind of agree with Faye
on
that.
We've driven to Chicago before, and Eric will fall asleep, and I'm sitting there driving, and I hear this... and it's just like all I can do to stay awake sometimes because it's really loud.
All right, well, we've all decided.
What I'll do is when we go and place our order, so to speak, go to the place, I will give serious consideration to the larger model, the Charger, and I'll keep my fingers crossed because I'm actually hoping that they have a really cool Charger there.
Me too.
So,
all right, folks. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. Laughing Buddha, can you tell us who's ended up with us in the chat room?
Yes, sticking with it through thick and thin is Crone, Jay the Haunt Cub, we've got RT Cruiser, Toppy Smelly, and that appears to be it. I think we lost Moose along the way.
Thanks for joining us, Moose, and thanks to everybody who's still with us. Just before we close out and before we go around the room and let everybody tell themselves where they can find each other, I just want to put out a plug for next Friday, the 20th of December, shortly after the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage episode that's going to be live on that night. We have a new show that's joining us here on Pride 48. They're going to be doing live, that is the All About Me podcast. It's going to be their first inaugural episode here on Pride 48. They'll be coming on at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on December 20th. So just want to put a little bug in your ear about those guys who are going to be joining the live, going streaming out live on every third Friday of the month, starting on December 20th. So I just want to let that info out there. So let me see. Please, ladies and gentlemen, if you could tell us where we can find you on the interwebs. We'll start with Eric.
You can find me on the air from 9 until noon Central Time on Classic KMRY, online at kmryradio.com. From there, you can, if you go to our website, there's links and Facebook stuff and all that stuff. So.
Right.
And we are also in TuneIn Radio, too. So for those of you who have audio technology that has multi-platforms and you know, screens and things like that, you can just go to TuneIn Radio and you can listen to music, too.
And you can also find the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage streaming live on TuneIn Radio as well on Pride48.com on various Fridays at 7 p.m. So, yeah, Pride 48 is on TuneIn Radio as well. Apollonius, how can we find you?
You can find me at apollonius.net. That's Epilonius. And I'll be coming back soon just because me and Chris are probably going to start doing breakdowns of all the queens for RuPaul's Drag Race coming up.
Well,
starting to get very hyped up for that and very, very excited. So hopefully you'll follow along.
All right. Jimmy Bear, sir, how can you be found, or are you going to hide out there in Boston?
You can find me lurking in the Pride 48 chat room on Twitter, jmajor68, or on Facebook, James Major.
And Brenda Boo, who is going to get ready with the music, how can we find you?
I'm blabbering a lot on Hello Again, It's Brenda Boo, .com.
And I am the Faye Driver. You can find me here on any Friday that I bloody well feel like it on pride48.com, or come to pinkwheelnuts.com. Check out the Pink Wheelnuts podcast. You can find this show there and some other shows that I do with some famous Iowans, also known as the Paula Poundstone of Iowa, actually. laughing, the man who always has the last word. It is the Laughing Buddha, sir. Please take us away.
That's right. I am the Laughing Buddha, and you can find me online at thescooterdiaries.net. You can also find me on Twitter as Laughing Buddha. That's LaffingBuddha. Brenda, take us home.
Garage.